All right, and welcome back to the Coast to Coast to Coast podcast. I am Chadley. I am your host, and I am here with a couple of the North Coasters. I got Jim and Chip here with us, and coming in maybe a little bit later is Dale. He's got some baby issues at the moment, so I'm sure you guys have been there.
Yes.
How are you holding up?
Doing good, Chad. Good to be home. Last time I spoke with you guys, I think I was in Oklahoma, and settled in back here in good old Cleveland, Ohio.
Doing good, too.
Welcome back, Chip. Hopefully things are nice and smooth, and the whole family was so happy to embrace you again upon your return.
Funny story. Funny you should mention that. You would think I would get that, but as soon as I walk in the door, it's, oh, this broke. This is a problem. So-and-so said this. So, yeah, I did get it. That was about as warm as welcome as you can get, though, and I was happy with it.
Yeah, take what you get. Yeah, I guess you got to take that. Well, it was a pretty big Super Bowl week, so we are going to get into a little Super Bowl chat. As Chip brought earlier, and I don't disagree, it's going to be all Super Bowl chat this week. So hopefully, we can give you something a little bit different, and then we're going to spin off into a little bit of other talk, a little bit of personal stuff from the Super Bowl parties and/or maybe some other stuff going on, and then a little talk leading into the off season. So stick with us, and hopefully, like I said, Dale will be popping in here in a little bit, and we can just kind of flow through some other local stuff. Also wanted to bring up a little bit of news from the All-Star game in Cleveland this week. So I'm pretty excited about that, but let's start it off. First of all, what do you guys sipping on today?
Got me some Buffalo Trace bourbon.
Right, I know that's one of my favorites. I went to a wedding at the Buffalo Trace Distillery, so it's got a warm place in my heart.
I got a question. Since you've been there, I've never been there, Chad. I know like the Pappy Van Winkle stuff is damn near impossible, but since it's made there, is there any possibility, like, do they have it that you could, I know it would probably cost a shitload to get, but could you sample it, or is that something like they just make them and send them out? I don't even know if you know the answer to this.
No, I mean, so when we were there, first of all, it was cool because the wedding, all of the drinks on the menu were Buffalo Trace bourbon drinks, except for it was between somebody from Cincinnati and somebody from Cleveland, somebody Jim knows, but since the wedding was at that venue, all of the drinks were Buffalo Trace bourbon drinks, which were pretty cool. And then they had beer from Rheingeist in Cincinnati and beer from Great Lakes in Cleveland. So it was a really kind of fun themed wedding. And there, it was closed up, so we weren't able to do any of the tastings, but they do tastings at the distillery. And it's cool because they have their typical Buffalo Trace, but I guess they do a lot of small batch stuff there too.
Yeah.
So I think a couple of the people involved there got some of the small batch stuff as part of the process, but that you were able to walk right up in and see the distillery during the wedding stuff and between lulls and before we started everything off. But it was pretty cool. The grounds are huge, and it had a really beautiful venue. It was a really dope spot to be at a wedding. So I think to answer your question, yeah, you can get the stuff there, and you can have access to some of their small batch stuff.
Huh. That'd be a place I'd like to check out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's right in there. And I think it was a little far off from the town, from Lexington where we were, but there was a bunch of distilleries through that area. So
we always talk about like doing that. Why don't we should get a bourbon trail?
That would be a pretty good one. Yeah.
I'm totally down.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have ever even thought of it, but that's a pretty smart idea. We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah.
We've been in the talks for a guy's trip for the longest time.
That would be a good one, man.
It hasn't happened yet.
Just rent a party bus?
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be super fun. What about you?
So I haven't had a glass of bourbon in over a month. I thought I would treat myself to my personal favorite, Jefferson's Ocean 8.
Oh, there you go.
What journey or what?
It's a voyage, and it is voyage. Right. This is voyage 23. It's one of the newer ones. I had 19, but I polished it off before I left a little while ago. So that was a good one.
What do you got, Chad?
I am actually drinking from a bottle of Japanese whiskey, which is pretty good, that I can't really pronounce. What was in the other room actually is Hibiki or Haitaki. I don't know. But it was something like that.
I'm not going to work here anymore.
But I looked at it before it came in. I'm like, I'm definitely going to be able to remember this. But it's only the second one I've had. The first one I had was that really cheap one. I can't think of what it's called either. But everybody kind of knows it. It's in every store. But it's a pretty – that's not great. This is pretty good. I like this one. Japanese whiskey I haven't had much of, but it's very smooth, very light. So a little different feel than bourbon for me. But it's pretty good. I prefer bourbon.
If you had to pick your favorite bourbon, what would it be, fellas?
Ooh, good question. I think I am caught in a very close tie between Blanton's, which is just amazing. And it's got like a taste of, it's got like a little bit of bite to it. You know, it's like some, not in a bad way, just has a little bit of bite to let you know that you're drinking some bourbon. And the other one that I'm just absolutely in love with is Basil Hayden.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Basil Hayden.
So smooth. Oh my goodness.
Did you try the Basil Hayden toast?
No, I saw it though. I saw that.
I've had the rye.
Chip, did you try the toast?
No, I haven't, but I'm aware of it.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it in the store the other day. I was like, that looks interesting.
Yeah, we'll get them on here later. I know that's one of Dale's favorites too. I'm not sure what his top one is, but those two are you know, top of the line for me. What about you guys?
I don't know, Chip, what do you think? I like Buffalo Trace, man. But there's another one I have. It's not made in Kentucky, but Woodinville. It's from Seattle. They won the San Francisco like Best Spirits Award in I think like 2019 or 2020. It's a really, really, really smooth. A lot of flavor too.
Bourbon from Seattle. All right.
Yeah. Woodinville.
I won't knock it.
Give it a shot.
Did you have a favorite, Chip? Did you say one already?
So actually, my favorite, I think I've spoken to you guys about it a few times, and as much as I love Jefferson Ocean Age, I'm going to have to go ahead and say Knob Creek. They have a small batch of, it's called Smoked Maple, and it has always been one of my go-tos if I'm going to have a glass for around the house, because it's a little bit sweeter, and it's got that really good, like, kind of like a caramely maple taste that just makes it very drinkable, and it's probably why it's my favorite.
Nice.
All right, I can't argue with that. I definitely thought you were going to say Jefferson Ocean, I like
Jefferson Ocean Age because I'm a Navy guy, and just the fact that it sailed in the seas of the highest seas across the equator and battled ships on its way back, it gives
you think it was. Do you think it was berated like all the other sailors on the boat?
It's made port a few times and made a fool of itself.
Good enough.
Yeah. And that's why I like it.
We built this whiskey on rock and roll. Jefferson, just started popping in my head.
Chip.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Jim.
One more bourbon thing. You said that there's a Metallica whiskey that is.
Dude, I gotta look this up, the name of it. But yeah, we went to my wife's friend's house, and I had a bourbon with the husband who was turned out to be an awesome dude. And he was showing me this bourbon that was made by, or not made by, but, you know, sponsored by Metallica. And what they do is they would play like five or six songs to the barrels. And then like, you would get a list of what songs this, you would get like a list of songs that this whiskey just jammed out to before you drank it.
Such a good marketing idea.
All right. Well, maybe we'll roll back to this if Dale ever makes it to us, because I know he He loves his whiskey talk too. For anybody who's here for some football, let's talk a little Super Bowl here. So what do you guys think? I got to tell you, it was exactly what we talked about at the beginning. I thought, man, this could either be, I think I predicted a rout by the Rams, or it could just be kept so close to the point where it came down to one score. And when the game started, the Rams came out pretty fast, and I thought, okay, here we go. And then some things shook up in the second quarter and around the half, and that is not the way it goes. It went, it flipped straight to the other scenario where it got really tight and just came down to a score. But it was a really strong game. I really enjoyed it. I like this better than a comeback game or anything like that. It felt nice to have a game where the score could have went either way at just about any point in the game.
Yeah, until the end when the fix was on and everyone was like, oh shit, all these fucking stupid rich people need to be happy and leave this stadium on a good note, not caring about what the hell happened.
I knew one person was going to go that route.
Yeah.
I should have suspected you, Jim.
Dude, I just hate LA, and just seeing that stadium full of rich assholes pissed me off.
To be fair, at the Super Bowl, every Super Bowl is just filled with rich assholes.
Happened to be in the butthole of America, which is Los Angeles.
We were actually a lot of rich assholes actually live and were local.
None of those jackets. Did you see that piece of shit Kanye West watching it through like a fencing mask?
Did you guys see the story on that where somebody was reporting from the seats behind him and said him and his friends were – he was saying things like, man, I'm really pretty upset that I wore this mask. I think I want to take it off. His friend's like, no, man, you got to commit. You wore it. Now you're going to look stupid if you take it off. And then like a few minutes later, he was like, man, why did I wear this? It's so freaking hot in here. It's so freaking hot. And his buddy was like, I told you not to wear it. You never listen to us. Like, this girl was like tweeting the saga from like a couple seats behind him.
But is there like a hole in it that you can drink out of?
No, dude, Chip, it was literally like a black, like almost like a nylon type mask with like little circles in it for like, so I don't even know how to describe it. It was like an execution.
He looked like he was wearing one of those. He looked like he,
morph
suits. First, I thought he was wearing like a bodysuit with just a hoodie over it. That's why I thought he was wearing one of those like human bodysuits and just had a hoodie on. But it was just a face mask, apparently.
That guy has gone off the edge. Like, there is something.
I just try not to pay attention to that and just focus on what's entertaining.
That's probably a good idea.
I just focus on what's entertaining me. And I actually thought that was all. There was a lot of entertainment things out of that Super Bowl I thought were really, really great. But that opening national anthem I thought was outstanding. And then they had a couple – I don't know if you guys really paid attention to the aircrafts flying over, but two of them were F-35s, which are the new modern aircraft that we fly in. I was pretty excited to see that. They were kind of – right when I was getting out of the Navy, those were coming in. And it was pretty cool to see those.
Chip, I thought it was cool that they had like the whole mix of like the different eras of planes. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, they did. They had the A-10 Warthog, and then they also had the Mustang I saw. But it was like the Mustang, the Warthog. I think there was an F-15 and two F-35s. If someone wants to correct me, I only got that quick glimpse. But
dude, that stadium, I don't know, like who's seeing the flyby in there? Because there's the roof on there.
Yeah.
It's see-through.
And by the way, means the sun can get in. They must have been baking yesterday.
That's what I said.
Game, and remember how hot it was?
It's hot as hell. It's like a greenhouse.
Well, it was like 86 degrees on Super Bowl Sunday in LA. So it must have been just cooking them. So there you go, Jim. There's your revenge. All the rich people got cooked.
Good.
Including Kanye. Dale, you missed it. We had about a 10-minute talk at the beginning of the podcast about our favorite bourbons. We'll get over to you on that soon. And then we were just talking a little bit about the start of the Super Bowl and how it kind of all came together.
Sounds good. Is anyone else hearing like choppy cutout on people, or is it maybe just my headphones?
No, I think just you. I hope.
Okay, I'm like hearing it a bunch, so I assumed it was just me because no one else was saying anything, which is fine.
Yeah, pop them off, turn them back on. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So going into the Super Bowl a little bit, I thought as much as the Rams came out pretty strong there, I thought as far as an overall team, the Bengals looked a lot more balanced, especially as much as everybody doesn't want to hear it, especially after Odell got hurt. I think the mismatch for that game was try to find Odell because the obvious focus is got to be Cooper Kupp. And it looked like that played out at the beginning with Odell getting that first score. I know Cleveland was most of Cleveland was pretty disappointed. I saw a couple of people on Twitter that are just so happy for the guy. They just feel like he played for Cleveland once and he's somehow Brown forever. I don't agree, but he caught that first touchdown catch, got them out to a start. And I think him getting hurt, especially with Tyler Higbee out, really kind of messed with the game plan for the Rams. I got to say, it almost is a testament to how good Cooper Kupp really is, because with those two guys out, the passing threat, and nothing against Van Jefferson, because he's a phenomenal young player, but he's not pulling any coverage. I think it almost just shows you how darn good Cooper Kupp is, that it was like, well, now they're going to be trying to go to Kupp any way they can, and they still just did that. And for a while it was a lull, but as the game went on, they found more and more ways to just get the ball to Cooper Kupp. So I know you've been pretty big on him this year, Chip. And
yeah, there was something I just read a little bit ago that I found pretty interesting. He was the first receiver to get, and correct me here if I don't get all three of them right, it was offensive player of the year. Was it MVP, Super Bowl MVP? And there was a third one. And the only other receiver to do it was Jerry Rice. And he didn't do it all in 1 year. He just got it in a career.
Mm-hmm.
But what was
I think it was lead the league in receiving yards.
Okay, yeah.
Offensive player of the year. And then, yeah, Super Bowl MVP.
And he did it all in 1 year.
Yeah, it's the most impressive receiver year I can think of, because not only did he do that all in 1 year, but it's just doing it all in 1 year en route to the Super Bowl and then the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, that's just leading. And I think he led in what? Receiving in catches, receiving yards, and touchdowns. I mean, the guy was just an offensive.
His total stats were 178 receptions, 2,400 yards, and 22 touchdowns. That's including, now that is including postseason, but that's like 2 years worth of like Pro Bowl level.
Yeah, that's amazing
work.
So I was really happy for the way he got involved. I like the guy. I mean, we talked about likable teams and likable guys. It's hard not to think Cooper Kupp is just an amazing story. How he, you know, worked his way into the league, his story with his wife, the way he puts in work. I think I told you guys earlier about that story that he's usually in the building by 4 a.m. or so, and he has his own film room because he comes in the morning before workouts to just watch film alone. I think that kind of stuff is just, for a guy who's, he's fast, he's quick, he's got great hands, but he came in the league without a resume and not a physical specimen, and he knows how to get open. He's the type of guy that just watches film on every cornerback. He learns everything he needs to do to get better.
Round pick, right?
I actually don't remember. That sounds right, though.
Yeah, I was just thinking that must be nice.
He might have been a second. He was from a smaller school.
Yeah, it was the third round of 2017.
Yeah, he's from a smaller school. He apparently killed it at the Senior Bowl, and that's how he turned some heads.
And then immediately tore his ACL like the next season, too. So it's not even like
he got into the league. Yeah, he played like six games that second year, I think, or something like that. I was reading some of his stuff earlier. His first year, pretty slow, which is understandable, kind of a developmental type of receiver. And then second year, he just didn't play much. And then the last 3 years, though, he's just come on, and he's been great, especially this year. I mean, he's got like his stats from the last 2 years, like Dale's had combined this year. On the mirror of that, I thought we actually got shorted a little bit of Chase, because I think as well as the Bengals played and them coming out at the half and putting in a couple scores in a row to really get themselves a lead and really, you know, make it look in my head like they were going to take this one. Despite all that, I thought I was just shocked they didn't use even more Ja'Marr Chase. That guy can really make plays.
I think one of the big problems they had with him in the second half was there was a good defensive adjustment from the Rams. And the second half of that game, Burrow's only option was his first option. And if that first option wasn't open or it wasn't Chase, he didn't have time to go through any progressions. He was either getting hit, sacked, throwing the ball away. I mean, they in the second half just destroyed the Bengals line. I mean, it's kind of what we thought might happen from the start of the game. And
he came out
didn't really
slow
show
too.
Up until the second half.
Yeah, it came out a little slow too, didn't you think, Dale? It looked like when they were showing replays, like Aaron Donald was almost feeling out the offensive line because they weren't rushing and the offensive line was doubling him on every play, which you better. But it almost looked as if he was trying to get in, but also kind of reading out the line and figuring out what he could do. And then the second half, he just let loose.
Yeah, I'd heard that they changed up some of the scheme to actually rush more inside, go figure. And it was just basically war of attrition, and the old line could hold up for a play here or there.
Yeah.
But as time wore on, they couldn't.
And it's tough when you're worried about guys like Von Miller, who's been having a phenomenal end of the year on the outside too. And then you have somebody coming up the gut like Aaron Donald, who's doing it like nobody's ever done before. So tough task, and yeah, once again, they found a way to do it, but that quarterback just got pummeled for the I don't know how manyth time this season, and this what did he get? Seven big quarterback hits.
Yeah, you know what else they did that was wrong is they went over there and poked the bear. They went over there and pissed Aaron Donald off when he accidentally. I don't think he really meant to hit Burrow too hard out of bounds.
He threw him out the club.
It was definitely a clean hit, but it was definitely I'm tossing this guy.
It wasn't necessary, but it was clean.
It was also Aaron Donald. I don't think he can push lightly. If he bumps in you, you go flying. Yeah, so I wouldn't have went over there and poked the bear. I would have said, "Hey, alrighty."
And like we just said, not a moment too soon, because in the middle of that game, Stafford made some huge mistakes. I know that one interception went off a guy's hands, but it looked like he darted it pretty good in there. And that random, for no reason, Hail Mary, he tossed into the end zone. I was really hoping for a little bit of fight for the ball by the receiver, but I have no idea why he threw that pass in that situation. I don't know what he was thinking good would come of that, but he had a little bit of a lull. He started well. He had a really rough lull in the middle of the game, and those interceptions really got the Bengals rolling in a way that the Bengals defense has been helping them get rolling in the last two or three games. And then they just hand it back to Burrow, and the team is feeling good, and they start to roll a little bit. And that's exactly what it looked like it was going to happen. And then the end of the game came. So for the most part, I thought – and Jim kind of brought up earlier, but I thought for the most part that the lack of penalties in this game was like the most refreshing thing in football. And I wish this is what football normally looked like, because there was a lot of grabbing. There's a lot of things, but and the field covered in yellow for an entire game, I almost just didn't realize how nice that was. I wish we could get back to that. I hope a lot of people comment on it, because that's really how football should be.
It was refreshing, but sometimes it felt like some players were taking advantage of it and some weren't. But yeah.
I mean, the Bengals did a good job of, like, it seemed like they were feeling it out a little bit. And then as soon as they realized that things weren't getting called, their cornerbacks were just mauling the Rams wide receivers. Which, I mean, hey, if it's not going to get called, by all means, go for it. But I mean, they were on top of them.
I did love watching Jalen Ramsey get thrown to the ground like a little bit. That made me
happy.
It was
quite the face mask that somehow didn't leave him paralyzed.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, so there was definitely a good scoop of face mask there. I know Jim loves it. Definitely that was probably one of the two worst calls of the game.
The only reason I'm indifferent on it is because I have a soft spot for corners. I think that everyone loves to rip on cornerbacks, and it's secretly like, or not secretly, but just like quietly, the hardest position in football. All odds against you.
It's tough.
You have to cover the receiver, and he's going to go sit out a couple plays, or if he's run blocking, he's not doing anything, but you still got to go make a tackle. And it's just your job is endless, and one mistake, and we put you on TV and make fun of you. Where receivers can drop left and right, and we don't bat an eye. We're just, oh, okay, you know, he'll get back in it. He'll burn him. There's all these, like, phrases to burn a corner where he's just working his butt off all game. And then he gets face masked and thrown to the ground, and it's like, oh, man.
Well, to both of your points, yeah, that's really tough. So, and it really changed the game because the Bengals turned the game around at that point, and it was a terrible no call. But there was a pretty decent makeup call later in the game that helped the Rams score a touchdown too, which I think could have been something that the whole, you know, Bengals community could be just killing the NFL for if it hadn't been for that Jalen Ramsey face mask that didn't get called, where you can easily say, well, but, they gave you one, they gave us one.
Yeah, honestly, it comes out in the wash. Like that's I think I'm on your side. It comes out in the wash.
Regardless of that face mask, he was catching that touchdown anyway.
I don't know, man. I don't see many plays where the best cornerback in the
To Jim's point, I feel like ball, he – but I don't know if we're going to say touchdown.
I don't know. But he did have an upper, like, advantage on the angle to get that ball. I feel like he would have got it with or without the face mask. And it looked like Jalen Ramsey was actually stumbling. I don't think he grabbed his face mask and threw him like we're exaggerating. Yeah. I think Jalen Ramsey was going down regardless of that face mask. And to say that those two penalties watch each other, timing is everything. To start making up for a bad call the last 2 minutes on the 20-yard line is different. Even though he caught that ball and ran it in for a touchdown, it's completely timing is everything. It changes everything.
Yeah,
you can't I still think those were penalties at the end of the game.
Yeah, you can make that argument. I can see that, but the issue is the Bengals were down at that point, and that got them back in the game. And then they got an interception right back on that, and got to take a lead there. And it, you know, if that doesn't happen, or if he catches it and Ramsey is able to bring him down. You just don't know where the game will go. But yeah, you're right. It definitely feels way different to have that penalty at the end. Now, one of them, the penalty that they had, that holding penalty at the end, I think was pretty legitimate. Like he's had a good chunk of him, but there was that one phantom hold.
That one was crucial because I believe it was third down. It was a linebacker, if I'm not mistaken, and he didn't even touch Cooper Kupp. If I have that right, it was Cooper Kupp, I believe.
Yeah, that was pretty baffling.
And that was pretty bad. Even the announcers were saying, I don't see anything there.
Yeah. And that one came the other way. I felt like the announcers all said, oh, my God, that's a definite face mask. You know what I mean? It's like, but it's just a no call. But, yeah, you're right. It seems way more impactful at the end. It definitely seems shiftier. And, I don't know, you know, there's been so much stuff coming out about refs in football over the last couple of decades. It's like, well, it seems sketchy. But all right, but I think we can all agree, like, a game with less calls was just way better to watch.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yes. I loved it. But the Rams got into it, but what makes me feel a little better, Chip, even to that point with the call helping them get one more shot at the end zone, what made me feel better was the game wasn't over there because there was still a minute and 34 seconds left on the clock, give or take a few. And this is where I was going to give you a bunch of crap about – you saying that for a good quarterback, the last quarterback to have the ball is going to win it. And in this situation, pretty good quarterback.
Yeah. But
he did not win it. And there's a lot of directions you can go with this, but what are you guys feeling about that last drive and especially that last play?
No, you're 100% right. There's nothing more that I love than the last quarterback with the ball sealing the game. And Joe Burrow had all the opportunity in the world. It was over a minute. I want to say two timeouts. But there is one X factor here, Chad. Not every quarterback's playing against Aaron Donald when he's pissed off in the Super Bowl.
That's a good point. Yeah,
he's not allowing you to get that comeback. I don't care who you are.
I wrote on the outline, Aaron Donald calls game, because I felt like on that last play, it was fourth and one. And somebody can explain to me on third and one and then on fourth and one, why Joe Mixon wasn't just carrying that ball across the line so they could keep going. But regardless, they chose to put it in their quarterback's hands, and he's been Joe Burrow all offseason, so I can't blame him. Too bad. But Aaron Donald was saying, no way.
McVay called game with Donald, like, before the play. Like, there's, like, a video clip of him.
On the sideline, like, I saw it.
Yeah.
That's where you just say, like, if you're the – that's the kind of things we've been saying about guys like Myles Garrett, where it's like, hey, you're the – you're that guy on this on the, in this game. You have to go do that. And somebody like Aaron Donald, that's just where you prove that it's not just stats. It's not just, you know, dominance you can see on the field. It's that in the most key moment, your best players make their best plays. And that is just – that was the end of the Super Bowl, man. That was it. And – I got to be honest, though. So I'm watching. I watched with some Bengals fans, and I was just not ready for it to be over. I had fully accepted in my Browns brain, Bengals are going down and scoring this. And, of course, you guys know I was rooting for the Rams. And I was, you know, we were just kind of going back and forth. It was pretty lighthearted. But my Browns brain was immediately like, you scored too soon. Scored too soon. The Bengals are scoring and winning. And I'm watching Aaron Donald throw Joe Burrow to the ground, and Joe Burrow throw this desperate random ball in the air. And I'm like, Ja'Marr Chase is catching that. Somebody, T. Higgins is standing there. Somebody's catching that. Yeah. I was fully, fully sold. If you had just paused it, if you had just paused live TV the second Joe Burrow let it go and said, $100, Chad, is somebody catching this or not? I would have taken that bet for sure. Someone's catching this ball and they're getting the first down. Oh my God. Just that kind of magic I thought was coming.
I actually thought they were going to end up getting a field goal at some point, and because they got that kicker that's, like, all famous, you know, and everyone likes him.
That have just McPherson.
Yeah, I thought it would go into
overtime. Just chilling out there watching the halftime show.
Yeah, yeah, and then he comes and kicks the game-tying field goal at the end.
Do you get in trouble for that?
Can we pause for a second how big of a deal that would have been if they were down there to, like, kick the game-winning or tying field goal and the guy misses a kick after just, like, chilling on the bench watching the halftime show? Like, just the amazing
that's what makes that
content, just everything that would have come out of him. Actually.
Media would have exploded. You're right. And I think probably unfairly, because it has no relevance on whether or not he's going to make a kick. But you're right. People would have
none whatsoever. He has nothing to do during halftime.
Yeah, you put yourself
like
at
no
risk.
Responsibilities.
they go over the new game plan, and like, and in this new game plan, we also want you to make all of your kicks. Can you do that?
Yeah. Big adjustment here. We're going to want you to make them.
Well, the Super Bowl ended. The Rams, to Jim's dismay, are champions. All the Bengals fans, I actually felt it was funny because after that Aaron Donald play, I immediately just like stepped back. So I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that actually happened. Like, I was fully ready to accept like getting just roused by everybody at this Super Bowl event because I'm the only person there, you know, really rooting for the Rams. And, but, you know, I had my reasons. I've been following for a while. My fiance went to school with Matt Stafford for a little while, so she's a big fan of his. And so, you know, we were excited, but I had to step away and just try to be nice about it. But immediately I was like, I kind of feel bad because, you know, this is not an easy place to get. And the Bengals had such a Cinderella run. And I had a lot of friends, Cincinnati or not, Athens, Cleveland, Columbus, that were rooting for him. And I was like, oh, that's a lot of you like realize immediately how much disappointment that is. It's so tough.
And it's yep. not, it's so not for Bills. Them a guarantee that yeah, you're going to be Jim back. Knows. Like,
yeah. And that's actually the point I was going to make. Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
In the AFC with Mahomes, Allen, Herbert's there. Like this is not like, I mean, it could be the Dolphins,
yeah.
Right? Like, this is not a foregone conclusion that they will be back there. Like,
quick question. I think this is probably geared more towards Chip. Do you know anything about sports betting in Ohio yet?
I still don't. The only thing I heard was that it's supposed to be up for March Madness. So okay. That's all I heard and know of. I will get back to you on that, Jim. I'll look into it a little bit tomorrow.
Yeah, they were doing like Super Bowl odds for next year.
Yeah.
I mean,
typical picks, but the Bills to win the Super Bowl are like plus 750.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So I feel like
it does look like what I'm seeing is that it's not set to launch till January 1st of next year.
Dale, do you have betting there?
I do.
Can I send you money and lay that bet down for me?
All of the illegal activities that you're asking, absolutely not. We can talk later.
I'll ship you some. I'll ship you some alcohol too.
Yeah, and drugs. Hey Andy, I hope you're listening because Jim's going to ship alcohol, drugs, yeah, and illegal betting.
Not don't via USPS though.
Don't bring that narc into it. USPS all the way, man. They don't do anything. You can ship whatever you want to them.
Well, unfortunately,
just send it
I'll
to one of your guys at the post office.
Next year starts.
Hey, don't you have a connection at the post office? Just send it through him. He'll do anything.
He's too busy on his nap break.
I was watching Lord of the Rings today.
Okay. I'm
trying to catch up for the new Amazon Prime series.
Oh, my God. It's going to be awesome, Chip. We'll get into that soon. I really want to see that. Okay, so on Dale's point, I love it because I heard a lot of – I would tell Bengals fans this. You've got Joe Burrow, and he looks very legit. And you have a coach that kind of seems like he's turned things around. And if you've got a young team, you should be competitive for a long time. But if you are getting your mindset stupidly like all the Browns fans did on, well, we did this year, so next year we'll obviously be able to do it again or better, it's just tough because of what Dale just said. Aditi Kinkabwala was on the radio today, and they asked him, what are your AFC North rankings right now for next year with the rosters the way that they're built now? And she said, Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers. And it was crazy to hear for a second, but then I thought, well, I mean, that wouldn't be that shocking because I think the Bengals I read have 17 players from their lineup who are unrestricted free agents, and who knows who they just got to be seen in the Super Bowl. Other teams are going to be looking for them. They now have, you know, Super Bowl experience and great people to bring into your organization. They might get overpaid to play some other places. I know they have a good salary cap situation, but they spent a lot of money this year. So it's just a very crazy, like they could get, I could see them getting back. They're really talented. I could also see just like always, you know, things not good. I mean, things almost went perfect for them. They had a great year. Who on their team, missed the Super Bowl for a major injury. They had so many healthy players and they were in fourth place, which means they played a lot of other fourth place teams where, you know, other teams in the division are playing teams from the year before who finished higher. So I won't say they won't make it back. They look like they're going to be darn good for a long time, which is super irritating, but it's definitely far from a guarantee.
It's not like last year watching the Chiefs lose and just going, well, it's okay. They'll be back. Like it's not expected. The other big thing we talked before about their defense, like they have a bunch of like B and C level players. Defenses are not sticky. Like it's not a sticky thing. Like it's not easily repeated unless you're just the Steelers or you're one of those like perennial teams that's always
there. The defense in the playoffs was on fire.
And it's something that changes for year. It's just not something you can count on. And it was the only reason they really made it through the playoffs. Like it was so
really, really good. In the playoffs.
It is one of those things plus players like, yeah, I mean, no, would it surprise me? No, but it's not a guarantee like some of the other teams.
And then quickly on the other side, the Rams. So it's funny because I put the day on Twitter today was that I thought the Rams had a better built team to return next year than the Bengals did, which I don't think most people would have thought because just given their age and things. But I looked, the Rams free agents coming up next year is Odell Beckham Jr., which who knows where he'll be in his rehab. He definitely tore his ACL this game.
That was confirmed.
Might have confirmed that now. Yeah, but I mean, I think we kind of knew that was definitely an ACL tear. He will be a free agent, but he played with them a couple games and wasn't a big piece. Plus, Woods might be healthy and they might be able to bring him back. Then Von Miller's a free agent. It looks to me like he has all intention of trying to stay there if he can. And then I think there was one other guy that was very impactful whose name escapes me right now. I can't think.
I mean, Whitworth is not listed as a free agent, but
he's probably going to retire, right?
You got to be realistic about if he's playing again.
Yeah, I don't see him coming back.
Yeah, but then today I'm hearing all these 45 reports.
Years old.
Yeah, I think he's 40. Yeah,
he's the oldest player in the NFL.
Okay, maybe 42. Like, yeah,
he looks it.
I'm hearing, yeah, he does look it. It was nice for him to go out on this one, but it looks like I'm hearing some stuff like McVay is not 100% set on his future. Aaron Donald is talking about the possibility of retiring. So if any of that stuff happens, you can just crumble that take. That's done. But you know, given the fact that they've got Stafford for years, Kupp for years, Ramsey for years, Donald technically for years, like this is pretty big building blocks for a return. But even them. Like the 49ers were done. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be great?
I see his wife.
Yeah, they asked him.
I would be done
earlier.
Yeah, I would
they
be
asked
done.
Him earlier. Are you gonna? How are you feeling about your coaching longevity? You think you got Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll stuff in you? And he just laughed and was like, "No, I am not coaching that long." And they asked him, well, you know, what do you think? Your contract is up this year. What do you think in your future? And even after the Super Bowl, he said, you know, I just want to enjoy this moment. I'm not sure what my future holds yet. And it's like, wow, that's weird to hear. But like I said before, people our age, our generation doesn't want to work that much.
Well, when you have like that Bill kind Belichick, of money,
his
man.
Life is work. He doesn't want to do it.
That, I mean, he's not blind. He sees the future of the Rams. And there's not – once players start retiring and leaving, it's going to be hard to rebuild that team.
Like he's turned over his like entire staff multiple times, and he's – our age, like he'll be fine regardless of who comes in. But I just won his contract's up. So just like Jim Harbaugh's contract being up and taking interviews in the NFL, like, yeah, make them want you, make them pay you. But also Tony Romo gets paid twice as much as Sean McVay to talk about football.
Yeah.
As opposed to.
And people like Sean McVay too. So they would take him in, yeah, like, in a lot of stations.
There's so many players whenever they're asked about coaching that are just laugh immediately at the thought of spending that much time and energy for the money that it is. And yeah, it's not all about money. Like if you love it, there's plenty of former players who are coaches now that don't need the money, but yeah, there's definitely other options out there if it's just not how you want to spend the rest of your time in life.
So we have about 5 minutes before we cut this off and get to some quick Browns off-season stuff to kind of start the off-season before next week's kind of first how do we rebuild it pod. And I wanted to make sure we hit on the halftime show. And it's kind of our generation's halftime show. What did you guys think?
God, dude, I loved every minute of it.
Okay.
Dude, was anybody else like, you know, standing up at their screen doing their fake ass little white boy crip walk when Snoop came out?
Yep.
Yeah, actually, I was just going to say, I thought you were going to say dancing. And I was going to say, well, I wasn't actually dancing, but I found myself crip walking multiple times.
No, it was like shushing kids and making them leave the room so that we could listen to old people hip hop. It was phenomenal.
I thought it was funny. I saw a meme. It was like the Pawn Stars, and it said like, "Hey, do you think we can get a hologram Tupac?" And it's they're like, "Nah, best we can do is a upside down 50 Cent."
Yeah. No, but when they hit California Love, I was waiting. I was looking. I was like, "Are they gonna break out Tupac somewhere?"
Would have been awesome. Would have been absolutely awesome.
Yeah, people
awesome.
Thought they were gonna. I didn't think they were gonna share that spotlight. But I also liked the halftime show. I was a little bit perplexed by some of the song choice. It surprised me, but then I realized after we talked about it after it was over, they have so many songs that they probably absolutely
weren't. You can't play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, limited okay. time.
They were Dr. on the radio Dre, back in that day. It was like beep beep.
Dr. Dre got shit for saying that he still has no love for the police.
I know he was told not to do that. Did you guys know that story?
Yeah.
Same thing with Eminem kneeling.
They told him, don't do that. Yeah, they told him not to do that stuff. And I was like, are you kidding me? You're trying to tell these rappers not to do this stuff, and you think they're going to listen?
Yeah, but then
I mean, okay, so I also heard contradicting stories, because I also heard this was all practiced in the pre-shows. Like, they practiced that exact scenario, and no one mentioned anything. No one said, don't kneel. No one said, don't sing that, Trey. And so that might just be people making shit up.
Maybe.
Could be. I heard it was like a PR thing. Like, could you change this line a little bit? Which I know they've done with people before on live TV and things. And
I mean, they changed a bunch of stuff for the song. They basically played the radio edit version. It's not like they bleeped it for live TV. Like, they changed the words.
And so, also, I realized later it was super situation appropriate, but I was shocked that Eminem played Lose Yourself. Because I thought for sure that's not the direction they were going to go with him. But then I realized this song is about, like, you're succeeding in your biggest moment and like, stepping up for a competition. And I was like, okay, I guess, yeah, I can see that.
That's a good song.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I was just shocked. I thought they were going to go with some, like, classic or, like, early one or some collaboration with Tupac. And I thought they were going to do, like, Forgot About Dre or some kind of, like, collab between the two. But... And then also, obviously, not my favorite artist out of everybody that was up there, but Mary J. Blige is killing it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought she was awesome. She still wails. But they were good. I liked the set. I liked that it wasn't like the crazy, flashiest light show or anything. It was just
I was just going to say that. I like that it – and there wasn't like a million random people
just the dancers.
Who
– Just yeah, like and just broke ass.
I was waiting for like somebody to be flying around on a cord, and I was like, oh, I don't want to see that part again. It's always somebody like on a cable or something, like flying around in a giant light show. But I thought it was good. Just 50 Cent made me feel better.
Not to change the subject, but going into the fourth quarter right now, Cavs are down. Well, they were down 5, and now they just went down 7. So we still have 10. We still have 11 minutes in the fourth quarter. We still have 11 minutes in the fourth quarter. As long as we're not down double digits, I consider us in the game.
So I was going to say, are you guys even worried about it? You know, if they're, it's only 7. Like, it, I feel
yeah.
like
yeah. No, they can come back from that. We've seen them come back from 20 already, right? So 22. Man, they do not quit. Chip brought this up the other day, and he was totally right. They just, this team, you are not going to want to play them in the playoff because you're never going to feel comfortable. They're tenacious on defense. They're terribly irritating to try to run an offense around, and they never quit. So
what I don't like about this whole, sorry, I'm jumping into something different. Okay. The all-star, like the two Cavs guys, Jared Allen and Garland on LeBron's team. He's somehow going to weasel his way in and try to take credit for the Cavs' success. And it's going to piss me off more than
anything. He's going to get in. He's going to play a good series with Garland and Allen on the floor. And the radio shows are going to go nuts with, will LeBron go back to the Cavs next year talk? I'm telling you.
The entire show of LeBron and KD going back and forth was like the best TV I've seen all year.
That was funny. Avoiding James Harden.
Absolutely amazing.
And all that to avoid James Harden. He's not even playing. So it just made it so comical.
That was funny.
It was just, it was so perfect. Everyone's like dying laughing. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch the clips. LeBron just covering his face with a clipboard as KD straight-faced tries to explain why he needs a big man on his team to guard.
Yeah, you got
Barkley was hilarious too.
You have to have somebody control the paint. You know how all-star games go. You have to have somebody, you know, controlling your defense. Cavs, good. I'm glad you brought that up. Cavs have 2 all-stars now, and I'm not huge on reserves. I'm less big on reserves in football because there's just so many that get in and there's so many undefeated. But in basketball, there's so few all-stars for how many guys are in that league, and Jared Allen totally deserves it, and especially given what he's done in the last month since he didn't get a return.
Yeah. I'm not watching the game. I'm just watching the game cast because I'm on the laptop. We're already down to 1 point. So
There you go. Dude, the team's not going to quit. They're never going to stop. It's awesome. I can't wait to kind of see the recap. We're going to miss the ending, but I'm excited. It gives me tingles. So moving on, we're almost done here, actually. I want to take Chip through a couple of these, and then we'll finish off. We did a free agency tracker last week just on the guys for the Browns that are leaving in free agency, and whether you, you know, one thumb up if you think we should, you know, try to keep them for a good price. Two, if you just got to sign them, market value, just get them in here. And none if you're like, eh, you know, we don't need him or he's not worth it. And so let me take you through the top ones we did, Chip, as we move on here. And then we'll hit those last couple, and then we'll finish things up. So you can already tell from the numbers on the outline where everybody else voted.
Okay, I see, I see, yeah.
But so we got Jadeveon Clowney.
Give me the double thumbs up on that.
That's what I thought.
Because okay. That solidifies our ends. That solidifies our ends, and then we can just focus on the tackles.
Yeah, it means you don't have to draft. Yeah, it means you don't have to search the draft for somebody. David Njoku.
Two thumbs up.
Oh, you're big on Dave. Me too. I give him two also.
Just another position we don't have to look for. We already have Harrison Bryant.
And he's good. And he's good, and he'll probably get better.
Yeah, and with Bryant, that's a great duo. We need to just get rid of No Hands McGee, whatever his name.
And you'll see at the bottom that I don't think we can, but he's only got one more year of guaranteed money, so I would rather have Njoku following that than to try to piece something together later. What about Harrison?
That's a tough one. I like our safeties, and as long as this is Ronnie Harrison, we're talking about safety. Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Harrison.
Give me one thumbs up. I'd like to see him back, but I'm not gonna reach for him. Love to have him on the team. Going for him.
There's other free agents that can do what he does.
He's a great safety. He's also hurt a lot, but I'm not reaching for him. And then Hubbard, give me no thumbs up. We're gonna he's at best a decent right tackle. I'm good. No thumbs up.
Fair enough.
Higgins. Sorry, Jim. I know a lot of these thumbs came from you. Give me no thumbs up on Higgins.
No, actually, I don't think.
No. I think one each.
This is MJ Stewart we're talking about here, right?
Yes.
Give me two thumbs up, baby.
Okay, so MJ Stewart. Where are you guys on MJ Stewart? I actually think for the price, I would give him two thumbs too. I think he's been so versatile, and he's been awesome, and he's really still a young piece. He's clowny.
Dude, I thought he was awesome. For the price?
I could agree with that. For the price, yeah, that's the nice part about him.
He's pretty inexpensive. I don't know if I'd say young, but that's okay. Also, he didn't play that much either. I mean,
but I think he fits in this defense. He's a solid piece. Spots. Yeah.
I'm all about consistency too, right? Like,
we
kind of blew it up last year. Hopefully we don't have to do that again.
Yeah, I agree.
Let people build.
All right. What do you got? One or two?
Yes.
Okay. Walker. I know this is your boy, Chip. Where are you on Walker?
How old is he? Let me see. I'm going to give him one.
He's young still. He's still pretty young.
He's 27, too.
27. Yeah,
for a linebacker.
Right. The only reason I want to give him one is because we have Mac Wilson to replace. No, I'm kidding. It's because
Mac Wilson, not to get a sidetrack, but Mac Wilson was the first person to post all this OBJ trash,
right?
And fans were not happy to hear it from him. So
I'm sure he's the first person to post.
I don't want to get into the OBJ thing.
He spends his time doing.
I don't want to get into the OBJ thing, but I also feel like a lot of that is fabricated. Like, there was no narrative that we were rooting really against him. I mean,
we were
mad that he left. That's okay. Yeah, that's fair, right? Is that fair?
I totally think so.
All right. We weren't like rooting for
I think people were mad that he left, and then he made it seem as if like he got booted or he wasn't welcome here at any point. It was like, whoa.
He said he was thrown out onto the streets.
Yeah, that's bogus. Nobody liked that story.
That was fabricated. Yeah. Let's move on, though. So, Walker. What has everyone got on Walker? This is a fun game, Chad. I like this because I look at your numbers and I kind of see a tallied total on how we evaluate him.
Yeah.
I like Walker, man. I'm giving him two up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two for Jim.
I'll go one.
One for Dale.
I put a one only because I feel like we have a strong linebacker, a middle linebacker room coming up, so.
Because I'm afraid he had a decent year here and he might be paid a little more than he's worth. But if they brought him back, I'd be like, sure, he was pretty stellar. And
I mean, we're talking about $1 to $3 million guys. We're not losing the.
Okay.
Is this Malik Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Give me no thumbs. I'm sorry, buddy. You did great in Philly, but I didn't know you played on this team until I saw your name a few times.
Okay. I actually will just jump in and say also I'm going to give him none. I was completely unimpressed with the defensive line in every way.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement. I thought it was going to go the other way, and it didn't come together.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was at least going to be close to Sheldon Richardson, although I thought Sheldon would be better. He just wasn't, and he wasn't. Not only wasn't he good, he wasn't consistent either, and I don't like that. So he's probably gone. Malcolm Smith.
I thought he got a little bit better this year.
He's a good piece for this team.
Yeah, give me one. Give me one thumbs up.
I mean, I'm in for like one season maybe for a small amount. I mean, he's our age.
Yeah, that's a dude I'm not paying a lot of money. That's why I'm more leaning like one down.
I mean, no one's going to be surprised if he gets replaced in the draft with like a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, if we keep Walker, I can let him walk even easier. So I'll give him a one. I like him.
Not opposed to it. Well. It's just kind of how the NFL works now.
This is probably a non-issue, but Takaris McKinley, I'm just going to go with a zero. He completely unimpressed me, and he got injured, and I don't think he has much career left.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, Chad.
I was really hopeful he would have a resurgence here, and it looked for a minute like he might.
Yeah, he seemed like he was happy here.
Yeah, and he made some plays. He did make a few plays, but he wasn't consistent.
Yeah, he's not an impact player. The team would be fine without him.
He's exactly what you guys just said. I could see you just trying to replace him with a third rounder. He's too talented for what he's produced, but he just didn't produce for me. And he's like I said, he's coming back from an injury, so you're gonna sign that? Probably not. Anybody else? Anybody got some thumbs for him?
No thumbs.
No thumbs. Sorry, Tag.
Okay, and then the last guy that I thought was worth mentioning because he's an undrafted free agent and he did play a little bit for us was Odenigbo, who was kind of a flashy. He's going to be free, so it's just a matter of whether you want to use the roster spot on him. But he's basically free.
I'm gonna give him a thumbs up just because I like announcers trying to pronounce his name.
Odenigbo. I'll give him one.
I feel like I heard his name a few times, like making plays.
Yeah, at the end of the season, he made a few plays. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me one thumbs up.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good with – it's not going to cost us anything, like you said. He's a former seventh rounder. He's 28. Like, sure.
Okay. And then last, we're done with the unrestricted free agents. We are moving on to our only real restricted free agent. And I don't know if you guys know how restricted free agency works. Essentially, for anybody out there who doesn't, you – have him under contract. Someone else is allowed to sign him if they want, and you put a tender on him, and if he leaves with that contract, you get a pick back, which for us, I would guess for Johnson, what is he getting, like a third round tender? And if somebody signs him, you have the right to match that offer. That would be my worry, because I don't think we can match an offer given who else is on the roster.
Well, I feel like we're probably going to lose Hunt, so I think keeping Johnson is pretty priority.
You
think so? Because Hunt's still got a year or two on his contract.
Stole what I was going to say. Not kind of what I was going with, Chip, but I would keep D'Ernest and try to package Hunt with the Texans to try to get Watson here. Throw some picks at Hunt.
Honestly, I love Hunt, and I think a lot of other
teams I do too.
Really do, and I think you could
get some value out of him while it's high.
Yeah, I think he's better than D'Ernest Johnson in his ability to make just random
all plays.
He just has this ability to like make a play. But D'Ernest, I think, proved he's a pretty big piece and he's less expensive. So that is a thing.
So one thing, Chad, just to the overall conversation. So how many restricted free agents do we have? Because the one thing with the tenders is you only get one.
If you put
a second round tender, you only get one of those. Like you can't tag everybody.
I did this 2 or 3 weeks ago, but he popped up that registered as this is somebody that would be on the radar to give a tender to.
So just to make kind of just a bit of a point there with that, like, so one of the things that teams will do is actually kind of go up a round, like more than what they're worth, because if they get it, great. But if not, it keeps that player no matter what.
So you're thinking closer to a second for him.
So cool. Even if they put one out there, grab me if we can get a second for a running back that's his age. Like,
yeah,
you do and, that and all day how
old
long.
Is he? He's not that old, is he?
He's like 26, probably, right?
Is he?
Let's find out. You look for it, Dale. And then so for anybody else too, what Dale was mentioning was you give him this tender basically, and the tender you give him is the amount you're going to have to pay him basically. It's equivalent to an amount you're going to have to pay him if he remains with you. So you're not just like, oh, everybody first round tender. Like, you're just not going to do that. But, and you can't give them out, like he said, to all the players. So it's got balance. I know it pretty well, but I can't remember it well enough to speak on it and not be sure that I'm right. So
I'm pretty sure you are right.
Looks like he's 25 and actually Kareem Hunt is 26. So he's a year younger than.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty similar.
I got Dearness at 26 and Hunt. They're both the same age, which actually seems wild.
Yeah. Kind of nuts. Well, also at like 21, Kareem Hunt was getting
right.
The rushing title. So we've been, yeah. It seems like that was a good amount of time to get his name out there. And Dearness has just been a Browns backup. So, but he really did. Like, I'm on board. I really think he's a great player. If somehow we lose Hunt, which I would hate because Cleveland kid, really good playmaker, hurt a little bit this year, but not usually that hurt like he was. I think I'm still convinced he hurt his calf really bad and they were avoiding an Achilles problem. But if you end up stuck, quote unquote, stuck with Dearness Johnson, you're not feeling too bad about that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, use Hunt to your advantage to try to get somebody big. And
yeah, that would not surprise me at all.
Watson would be great because that would be, you know, from what it sounds like they want for him, it's like they want picks and a player. And I think Kareem Hunt fits a need for the Texans. They have nobody in their backfield.
And there may finally be some movement in that city because they have a new head coach, and it may be a head coach because he's a longtime veteran head coach. If Watson doesn't want to come back and play with him, which who knows how the situation will change now, you may finally have some movement there. Because the last coach, it almost seemed like that last front office and coach were stubbornly just, you know what, you sit out, we'll play without you, nobody will be happy, so fine, we both lose, which I don't know why that was the route
that was so it stupid.
Like they took, but it seems like that's what they were doing. And so maybe we'll finally see some sort of movement on him. And by the way, that is the one quarterback that I am convinced that if you get him in here, you are changing everything.
I think you go immediately to the top of the division. Immediately.
Oh, yeah, dude. I think you're competing for the Super Bowl with the quarterback.
Listen, if we had him on this roster this year, we probably would have won Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We would have been competing. I mean, it's hard to get – once you get in the playoffs, so much stuff happens. But we're definitely, in that conversation.
Odell Beckham would not be gone if Watson was the quarterback.
That's true. Well, Odell Watson could have got it to him. I don't like to bang on Baker too much because, like I said over and over, I've been big on the fact that injury really, really hamstrung and crushed him. But it's just a different level of quarterback. It's not the same.
Yeah.
When they're talking about these other quarterbacks they're bringing to Cleveland, they're talking about Mariota will be free. Maybe they'll want to trade Derek Carr, who's pretty good. Russell Wilson, which I think is not going anywhere, you know, might want to change scenery. Kirk Cousins, on a good year, Kirk Cousins is just older Baker Mayfield.
I don't want any of those guys. None of them.
It's Aaron Rodgers, which is never happening, and Deshaun Watson, who probably isn't happening, but is a much more realistic target that it would make me feel better about.
I don't think Barry's going to make any desperate move like that. He's either going to keep Baker or get someone significantly better. Like, we're not going to come in here with Kirk Cousins or Derek. You know, people keep like naming
a lateral move.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. We're not going to get these guys.
I don't want a more expensive, older, pretty much same type of guy. Like, I would rather just hope for 2020 Baker and take my chances than to take somebody 33 who gets $40 million a year and cross my fingers. Like, I don't know why. I think they just hate Baker so much that they're like, anything, give me anything.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of fans who feel about Baker like Jim feels about Los Angeles. Give me any alternative. So
I don't get that. I mean,
we're about at our spot. Do you guys want to keep going on any of this, or do you think we've just a good stopping point for us to move it into next week?
No, yeah, I'm definitely ready to move on. I just wanted to Oh man, we just lost Dale, and I was just going to tell him, or I was going to tell anybody. Actually, I looked up that bourbon I was telling you about, Metallica. Yeah. It's called Blackened.
Oh, okay.
I love that we're only talking about bourbon without Dale. This is the best.
Literally, the moment I was going to mention bourbon, and his name just left the link. So I don't know what happened. But...
Oh, well. I think Dale is messaging us right now that he's still here, but we can't see him. So I'm going to go ahead and say, nope, sorry, loser, you're gone.
Ask him to type in what his favorite bourbon is.
Hey, oh, he's back.
He's everybody out there
frantically trying to figure this out. Oh my god, they're talking about bourbon, get me back in here.
I mentioned for a second, like, do you guys think this is a good stopping point? Dale's like, see ya.
See, the excitement when we talk bourbon, we need, you know, so we need to expand the show's topics here on bourbon.
I think off season we'll talk a lot more booze. I think we should get into that.
All right, Dale.
I'm game for it. Dale, what is your absolute favorite bourbon? We've all given ours already.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Like, you're going to ask me which one my favorite kid is next week?
Don't give us a scotch.
We're doing kids next week.
Yeah, which kid's your favorite?
Yeah. Honestly, my favorite just, like, go-to is Basil Hayden. Like,
you go.
Don't get me wrong. There's nicer. Are there things that are better? Yes. But like that one, I'm never, ever disappointed with.
Yeah. It's very smooth.
I was torn between Basil Hayden and Blanton's, and they're completely different bourbons to me. One's real bitey, super flavorful, but has a little burn to it. And the other one is like so smooth, but doesn't quite have that same kick that I sometimes am looking for. But Basil Hayden, man, it's so good. Their rye and their bourbon are top of the line.
Not a fan of the dark rye. At least that one. And I do enjoy ryes, but that one I was not super into.
My brother's gonna be going to St. Martin this weekend. And I guess he's gonna be gone for a few days. But my parents were just there. My dad said that they had or this one place has bottles of Blanton's that you can't get in the States. So I'm going to try to have my brother pick me up one of those and bring one of those bad boys back.
Right, yeah. Blanton's is so good. Oh, man. The bottles are super dope. The flavor is amazing. I know that what's his name? What's the movie with where
Wait, Jim, where are we at on getting you to open that bottle?
I think I'm leaning more now of selling it, but...
Even though you had not asked him, Furman's vote was to sell. I pulled him.
Did you?
Furman!
Furman!
I was hoping you'd bring it over Monday.
In all fairness, he's already tried some, so it's not...
Oh, he has? He's had that one?
Yeah. Well, what was his review?
What did he say?
We didn't get too far into the details of it. He was kind of giving me the story on the situation in which ended up being like gifted a half a bottle, but his immediate vote without any like details was, yeah, just sell it.
Yeah, honestly, I'm thinking that because I was trying to do the math yesterday. Rachel did it for me because I suck at math.
Good job, teacher.
Yeah, I'm not a fucking math teacher.
I love that when you're a teacher, you have to like know every subject perfectly.
But out of the bottle, if I did 1 ounce pours, I could get 24. And if I did 2 ounce pours,
that's the math you didn't know.
I didn't know that.
You didn't convert it from milliliters. You need an app for that. Those things aren't, they don't bottle.
Let me hear where you're going with this math real quick. What are you justifying how much money you can make?
No, I'm not justifying. I'm just trying to think like.
If you sold your friend shots.
No, if I had people over, like who I would be able to have. So
just the volume, like what you could actually share.
Yeah. Like, so if I had 12 people, everybody would get 1 2-ounce pour.
We ain't getting 12 people. We're talking me and you.
And what about me?
Yes, but that's how it happens.
Chip is already uninvited. All of the
people yeah, people come out of the woodwork. They're like, "Well, what the fuck? How come I didn't get an invite? I want to try."
Hey, I'll be home for St. Patrick's Day. That's the perfect whiskey weekend. Let's do it.
The problem with sharing it on your podcast, which at least a dozen people listen to, so that was mistake one right there.
Yeah, but only 10 that we know.
Yeah.
At least two random. By the way, we're losing them right now, but we had a good run.
Yeah, if anybody's interested in buying it,
yeah,
tweet at us.
$2,000 or $40 a shot.
Well, let me ask you this then: what are you putting it up for?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen the values anywhere from like 2 to 3.
Here's what I was saying, Jim: if you are desperate to make some cash, maybe throw it online, $2,000, see if you get any bites, and then if you don't. By, I don't know, St. Patrick's Day, I guess that pretty much makes your decision
that's
for
a,
you.
That's a good fair random date.
Yeah,
I tell you, man, if somebody offers
me, I'll trade you for a digital basketball card.
Here's what I'd say: if you can get $2,000 for it, if you can get $2,000, I say take it. Yeah. I don't see it happening, but that's a big number. I'd take it. Now, if someone offered me like $400 or $500, that's not much more than you paid for it. I would just drink it.
I'm gonna take a quick pause. To all of our listeners who still might be listening. Like and follow us at Coast, the number 2 Coast X3. And we're on Instagram, Twitter. Like and follow the podcast and make sure to make us a regular download. And in case you were here for sports, that section is done. So you can go now. But we're going to keep going on this whiskey thing for a bit.
But before we do that, I need to just comment on our handle, I guess, because I do suck at math. But Coast to Coast times 3, isn't that 6 coasts?
No.
So many coasts.
Here's the thing. Here's how I justify the math on that, because I didn't make that Twitter handle. I think our most mathematical friend, the broker, put that together.
Also,
here's the way I justify it, and I had to do this in retrospect, so this is perfect way to fit my narrative. Okay, ready? Coast to Coast X3. So the West Coast to the North Coast, 1. The West Coast to the East Coast, 2. The North Coast to the East Coast, 3. Coast to Coast, Coast to Coast, Coast to Coast.
That's a stretch.
Boom. Coast to Coast, X3. Yeah, it was, I think, what you try to find, Coast to Coast to Coast, and it was gone, Dale. I don't know.
Literally nothing was available. We'll work on securing better or maybe easier to search.
Yeah, once we get our once we get our 1,000th listener, we'll look for a better.
Dale's going to be giving out free Coast to Coast to Coast NFTs.
We have to get on that quickly.
Oh, we better before we really blow up. I think it could happen any day now.
You know what I was thinking we should do? Well, actually, it would really only apply to Jim and I, but or in the local area, or I guess you guys could do it in your areas too. But maybe have like a draft party or something. We could even say like we're going to go here for the draft and see if anybody shows up.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
We'll be
sitting there like
Steven Glantz.
Yep. You guys, also, what you should just do is find out where there already is a big draft party and go in with like a big banner, the Coast to Coast.
Coast podcast. Claim all the people there.
Party. And just be like, oh, you go. Coast to Coast draft party.
take a picture.
Yeah,
we've got this amazing bottle of whiskey to share with everyone.
Dale, I was meaning to tell you, NASCAR is doing NFTs now.
Man, they got so many of them. They have tons of stuff. They just I think Dale Earnhardt Jr. and one NFT just sold for like $8,000 or $9,000. That included a ride along.
Oh, see, that would be awesome.
So
there's cool.
I didn't know it came with real life things too.
That's what I would want.
Some do and some don't.
You get a sandwich with it? I didn't know you get stuff with it.
The term is called utility. There, see? Learned you something.
All right. I'm educated more than ever. Oh man. I am feeling sore, guys. Started working out again and I thought a month in I would be feeling, you know, like you feel a month after working out, and instead I feel like an old fat guy.
Don't remind me about working out. I haven't worked out since some two times I texted you guys a long time.
I thought you were going to say, don't remind me about being an old fat guy, and that also would have been fair.
I'm on my second week now, Chip.
Oh, nice.
Got back on.
Yeah, I'm on my second week of heartburn medication.
Yeah.
On that note, how about another whiskey?
Yeah. I think we've found the part of the pod that's getting cut.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part of this whole time. I was having conversations with dozens of our listeners, and this is sometimes what they like. They want to get personal with us, really get to know us.
There you go. I just actually went to the doctor today because fat and out of shape, and I thought my heart was going on me, dude.
I seriously was like, I didn't mean that personal, but okay, didn't go that serious.
No.
I gave them a warning when the podcast talk was over. I think if they're still listening to this, they are just asking for it.
And yeah, I think this is what this makes us fun. Gold, right? Yeah, this is gold. Yeah,
I agree.
This is, you know what this is? Relatable. Because as odd as you think you are, you're just like every guy in America.
Yeah, you know what this is? This is the reel at the end of the movie, the hidden or the cut scene where you're like, how was that not in it? That was the best part. One more. Yeah, I don't hate it. But so we have a little switch to the schedule coming up. I think for anybody who's still sticking around, we'll probably come to a close here, but it's probably going to go one more week next week. And then I think we're going to be going every other week because you guys can't possibly want to hear us more than that. And also there's just not that much going on. We'll hit some Cavs stuff with some NBA. We'll hit some offseason NFL and Brown stuff. We'll spend a little more time. I agree with you guys from earlier. I think we should spend a little more time talking about TV, movies, booze, all of your parent shenanigans. I think that will be a fun switch from the norm while we're not so jam-packed into Browns talk, which is going to be
I'd love to get into like new and hot on what's like we're watching. Amy and I have been watching a lot of TV lately, from the new Pam and Tommy to Ali Wong's stand-up the other night. We loved. And I would love to give you my reviews on those. But
well, I really want to get into race topics.
I was going to say, I heard we're doing.
You say
a race? Special...
You mean NASCAR, right?
Charlie? Yeah. Aren't we doing a special Daytona 500 episode?
You said it. I'm excited.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
We could even do it live from the bar.
I'm excited to listen to Chip and Jim talk about this.
We could do it live from the bar.
I have to say, you're going to have to warn me when that episode's coming up and when the actual race happens, because otherwise I wouldn't even know.
It's this Sunday. Okay.
I'll be ready this Sunday.
Daytona
after
Day.
I watch the All-Star game. I'm not going to watch the basketball All-Star game. Even with Cavs in it, it's just garbage basketball. But, okay, I'll be ready.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. I think we better shatter down.
I agree. It was good catching up with you guys.
It's been fun.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah.
Cheers.